Everything that has a beginning also has an ending. And unless our world is eternal, it will come to an end. But Scripture teaches that only God is eternal and self-existent, and that all else emanated from His creative power, including the universe. And so our world will come to an end. But when will this happen? Will it be in 10 or 100 or 1,000 years? And how will it happen? Will there be an apocalyptic event that brings all life to an end? These questions have intrigued humanity from time immemorial, and every generation has had two groups, one who believed that theirs would be the one to see the end of the world, and the other who cried out against fear-mongering and doomsaying. Do we have to live in uncertainty as to where we are in time and what the future holds? The answer is a clear no. The Bible has given us a timeline from the foundation of this present age to the end of the world, and it has filled in specific events and happenings that will serve as guideposts to keep us on track and in a state of watchfulness, so that when Jesus appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. In this series of podcasts, I will present biblical eschatology, or the unfolding of the future, in a more user-friendly manner than is found in contemporary texts on systematic theology. My prayer is that you will be able to obtain a bird's-eye view of events from the rapture of the church to the arrival of the new heaven and earth. And to this end, order your walk circumspectly so as to ensure your place in the new world order. Let's begin with the rapture of the church, the next event on the prophetic calendar. And the main text is found in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve, as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. What is God preparing to do next? The answer is to return for His church. This return is known to Christians as the second coming of Jesus Christ. However, this terminology does not adequately explain the doctrine of the second coming. And because of this, there is much confusion and misunderstanding on the subject. So let me spend a few minutes to clarify the doctrine of the return of Christ. First, we must recognize that there is a difference between the coming of the Lord and the second coming. Let me explain. The coming of the Lord is known to us as the rapture of the church. Jesus does not come to earth, but comes in the clouds and calls up his church, both dead and living saints, to meet him in the air. The word rapture comes from the words caught up, as in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. In the Greek, the word is harpazo, and it means to seize upon by force or to snatch up. 7 earth years after this snatching up, Jesus will return with the saints to earth, and this time his appearing will be visible to the world. He lands on Mount of Olives, the same mount from which he took off for heaven, with 500 witnesses watching when the two angels appeared and said, "Why do you stand gazing? This same Jesus that you see go to heaven will come again in like manner." Jesus will overthrow the ruling religious and political rulers of the world, known as the Antichrist and false prophet, cast them into the lake of fire, bind Satan for 1,000 years in a bottomless pit, and set up on earth what we know as the millennial kingdom, meaning his 1,000 years of earthly rule. This is the event that the whole world will see and experience. Those who are quick to condemn the rapture teaching base their argument on the fact that the Old Testament makes no mention of a secret snatching away of God's people. What they do not understand is that the Old Testament is about God's dealing with Israel, and that the Jews never knew about the church. When Messiah was cut off, the time clock stopped for God's dealing with Israel. The clock will resume when the church is taken away in the rapture. The church era then can be likened to a pause in God's dealings with the nation of Israel, in which he turns his attention to the Gentiles. Jesus is the one who insinuated the teaching of the rapture when he said concerning his return that one will be in the field and the other taken, one will be at the mill and the other taken, one will be in bed and the other taken. But the Apostle Paul was the one who received the revelation of the rapture, and we saw how in his letters to the church at Thessalonica, he had to clear up a misunderstanding among the predominantly Jewish congregation concerning the return of Christ. The passage of scripture that we mentioned earlier is the most well-known of the scriptures that attempts to clarify the issue, but there are other references as well. For example, 1 Corinthians 15:51 54. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For a trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. Then in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him. None of these scriptures refer to the visible second coming of Jesus Christ. They all speak of a secret coming in the clouds, unknown to those outside the true church, to snatch away his people and restart God's dealings with Israel. Let's talk for a moment about differences between rapture and the second coming. We believe that much of the confusion about rapture is caused by lack of understanding that Christ comes first for believers, and then comes later in what is properly called the second coming, or his glorious return as King of Kings. Here, in a nutshell, are some of the differences between these two events. In the rapture, Jesus comes for his own. In the second coming, he returns with his own. In the rapture, believers are taken to the Father's house. In the second coming, believers come back to earth. In the rapture, it's an event seen only by believers, but in the second coming, every eye will see him. Concerning the rapture, there is no reference to Satan. On the second coming, Satan is bound. The rapture, the earth is not judged, but in the second coming, the earth will be judged. The belief that the church will be delivered from the tribulation is based in part on the biblical pattern that when God pours out his wrath, he always gives opportunity for the righteous to escape from it. For example, Enoch was taken before the flood judgment. Noah and his family were taken up before the flood judgment. Lot is removed from Sodom and Gomorrah before fire and brimstone judgment. The church is missing from Revelation chapter 5 through 19 during the period of the Great Tribulation. A couple of events will take place in heaven immediately after the rapture, and these are known as the Bema Judgment Seat and the Marriage Supper of the Lamb, and we will discuss these in more detail in later podcasts. So, in light of the rapture, how should we live? As a result of the coming of the Lord, how should we conduct ourselves? There are a few instructions. Attend services regularly. Hebrews 10:25, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. 1 Corinthians 11:26, observe the Lord's Supper with the rapture in mind. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Third, live a separated life. 1 John 3:2-3, dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Fourth, refrain from judging others. 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Fifth, preach the word. 2 Timothy 4:1-2. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. 6. Comfort the bereaved. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. We read this before. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. 7. Win souls. Jude 21:23. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. And finally, seek heavenly treasures. Colossians 3:1-4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. If we live according to these guidelines, then we will not have to concern ourselves with whether or not we will make the rapture. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.